Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive Chuck Mockler.
And today we're going to be talking about Nick Batum and his season grade, mm-hmm. as well as taking your questions on Twitter Tuesday. You can send those in every Monday to @LockedOnClips. We'd love to hear from you. And also, now with one first playoff round series in the books, Twitter looks to pick the carcass of the Nets, and we'll talk about some potential Clippers targets. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clips, coming at you 7 a.m. to kill some windshield time for you in this off-season time. You can find us anywhere you listen to pods. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're talking Nick Batum, the final starter of our starting, season grades. Just ran out with the starters. So far, only one person has an A, and that is Reggie Jackson for what he had to do.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved A, for sure. Just some top-level stuff out of the way from Nick Batum. He played in 59 games, had some ankle soreness and whatnot that kept him out of some games. He averaged 8 points, 4 boards, and 1.7 assists in 25 minutes per game. Shot 40% from 3 on 4.6 attempts, and 60% on 2s, which is fantastic. Some nice games from him. He scored 32 in the second half versus Indy to help the Clippers to a 6-point win, which was probably the most surprising scoring performance of the season for a lot of teams, not just the Clippers, I think. He had 22 on 78% shooting versus Portland in an 8-point win. And then he had 15, 7, 3, and 2 on 66% shooting in that 1-point win versus the 76ers. His usage was up 13.3% from 11.8% the season before. Will, what did we like about Nick Batum's season?
I mean, more of the same, right? He stayed at 40% again, which I believe is the first time he's at consecutive 40% from three career, seasons in his career.
Which is a
nice little feather in the cap. The defense was there. We saw some insane blocks from him this season. He averaged almost one a game, 0.7. He averaged a steal a game. He just does a lot of the stuff that you expect the best glue guy in the NBA to do. And I think that he, I mean, we're not in the playoffs this year, so it's not going to be as well noted, but he continues to be a Swiss Army knife for the Clippers. And there's a lot of guys that kind of get that role. I mean, I talk about that.
Sure,
for a
we
lot
have
of
like
guys
four
on this
of
team,
them. Yeah.
But he's like the Swiss Army knife of Swiss Army knives. It's like each
he's
little
the really
attachment
big one.
Is,
he's the display
well,
one.
Well, each
in
little
the
attachment
store.
Is its own smaller Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think defensively, man, it felt like we leaned on Batum so much. It seemed like sometimes he would almost get frustrated with what other guys were doing out there because they weren't able to kind of see what he was seeing or something. And I'm saying this is what I liked because Batum checking guys on defense is the exact person you want, other than maybe Kawhi or PG checking people on defense.
He was a huge part. Like him calling people out was a huge part of the culture shift here. That's been noted by multiple teammates. It's been noted by him.
Yeah.
A lot more of the same in that regard.
Do you think we leaned on him? Did we need Batum too much?
Yes.
With this, you see, with our injuries and everything, it felt like he was, because he got more minutes than Rocco. He was so important to this team's overall defense.
Yeah. Look, I mean, he played 8 less games this season, but he only played his minutes load was only decreased by like 2.6 minutes.
Is that
per
kind
game,
of surprising?
You know what I mean?
Considering how many people were hurt, that his minutes went down?
It is not, because that was a conscious effort. That was a conscious effort by the team. He actually started in more games this season than he did last season, which is like, I mean, it makes sense because we needed him. It was too much to ask, but he filled the role with aplomb. And like,
I'm happy
just
we didn't go
know.
Overboard. I'm happy we didn't see the other side of it, right? Where it was like, oh, wow, we're playing Nick Batum way too much. We are screwed when we're in the playoffs.
But I say that because I just think that I'm sure internally they would have liked these numbers to be lower. Right.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely.
I think that you know that he's up for it. but he did have the little ankle thing. Mm-hmm. There are questions as a player, you know, gets in, he's 33 this season. How much you can really lean on them, which I guess is honestly, I guess that would have to be my biggest knock, really, is of like what I didn't like from Nick Batum was like, I think a reliance like that on a guy of this age being asked to do this much. I mean, it was necessity this year. For all the people who wanted this to be a developmental season, you play Nick Batum, 20 minutes instead right. of that 28. Yeah. You'll see real quick what this team is developing. And I'll tell you what, it is not a pretty sight.
That is a great point. Get into what we didn't like too. Like when he came back from the ankle thing, like he had some rough shooting nights here and there, but you can't really be too upset about that given his role. I said,
still shot 40% from three.
Yeah, still elite from three. I will say too, it didn't seem like this year he was able to make as many, oh shit, baseline cuts with our lineup situation. And that's a product of the injuries and stuff like that. His field goal attempts from 0 to 3 feet away from the basket went down 5% from 2021 to 2022. However, he did shoot 10% better on those. So that's like kind of a fine trade-off. His attempts from 3 to 10 feet, which only constituted 4% of his shots, that was double what he took the year before, and his percentage went from 60 to 41%. So I think, and I know that's a very small percentage, but I think that's a glimpse into what you could get if you shift that 2%, if there's a little more spacing and he's able to get those cuts and things like that. Because when there's not as much spacing out there, he can't play his cerebral game of being in the perfect place to make baseline cuts and stuff like that. And I think maybe part of it too was the ankle, but I think he was double digit in dunks again this year, not as many as the year before, which is kind of crazy, but there's not a lot to not like, mostly because of his role, right? Like,
yeah.
If you're a bad glue guy, which he is the complete opposite, he is the best glue guy, you just are a bad bench guy. Like, it's not like, you know what I mean? But he's such a good glue guy that he's able to start. He's able to stagger minutes and kind of clean things up. Him and Roko were kind of like the cleanup crew for a lot of these lineups in terms of defensive deficiencies and things like that. So it's hard to really nitpick anything that Batum did, quote unquote, poorly.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because of his load and everything like that. Talking final grade, which is difficult to give a little bit to a glue guy. But before we get to that, how screwed are the Clippers if he opts out of his $3.3 million player option?
I mean, that's kind of a nightmare scenario.
I agree.
I feel like that, you know, we talk about how I've been torn, you know, on whether this team should make a move in the offseason or should try to, you know, bring the band back together for one last tour. And I think if Nick Batum ends up declining that player option and, like, they're not able to work out another deal, he goes elsewhere, whatever, I think that changes the mathematics on that pretty quickly. I'm saying at that point, you got to figure out something else on the wing. You need another guy.
We need to keep Roko.
Like,
if Batum is gone, we absolutely have to keep Roko. Because we need, I don't want any other team to have Nick Batum. I want him to retire a Clipper so bad. Like the battalion, everything about his tenure here has been great. All right, letter grade time. Does Nick Batum, William Updike, are you giving Nick Batum, Professor Updike in this scenario, I guess, are you giving Nick Batum the second A of the Clippers starting line?
I don't know about A, but I would firmly say B or B minus, definitely.
I'm giving him a hearty B.
He's above a C. He's above a C.
He's above a C because his need is so important. If he would have been bad this year, like you said, to your point about the minutes played, if he would have been bad this year, things look rough for the Clips.
Yeah, well, and he, you know, his numbers stayed about the same or there were some improvements in less time. And granted, you know, like I said, not a whole lot less time, but still less time. And that to me is an improvement. That to me is like warrant of a B. If he would have just been the same as he was last season, which was still very, very good. Yeah, I mean, like that to me would be closer to kind of how we've been giving players like C's in these scenarios. But yeah. I think Nick Batum is, yeah, firmly in the B range.
Yeah, shout out Nick Batum. He's on his way to his 3.0. You need all B's to get that. Coming up, talking Twitter Tuesday questions. Got a whole bunch of stuff to go through. Talking Clipper fandom. Talking our favorite Clippers still in the playoffs. But first, we have to give a shout out to Prize Picks. Will, what is Prize Picks? Where on earth can I find it? How does it work?
All right. Well, Prize Picks is the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator, and they offer all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each. Not Nick Batum, tell you that much.
No.
Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit and use promo code NBA will receive a 100% instant deposit match. That's up to $100. You get a free $100 just for using that promo code NBA. So here's how it works. It's really simple. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries.
What?
You can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Look, entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
All right, now that we've put all our money down on Prize Picks, we're talking Twitter Tuesday. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. We're going to get right into it because we got some really good ones. They're always great, obviously, but this week is particularly nice. Trent Maddox, hope he's having a good offseason, asks us, this is the biggest ask we've ever had on Twitter Tuesday, could you guys run through the tools available for roster upgrades, cap space, exemptions, available to trade picks? He also added, would another owner accept $10 million in gingham shirts for a mid-first? Rich people sure seem to be crazy. Might be worth the phone call. I'm not mad at this idea at all.
Not at all.
How many shirts?
I think
$10 million group worth of shirts?
Oh, gingham group shirts? That's 10 shirts.
That's all. It's that shirt made out of all gold. Remember that shirt that guy bought that was made out of like all gold or whatever?
Yeah.
2006. Okay.
Well,
so,
it's 10 shirts because they got to ship them from the Steve Ballmer's warehouse on the moon.
I forget. Yes, of course. I forgot. Man, we're gonna draw a line one day between all the references and we'll be locked up. All right. Let's get to what he actually asked about. Exceptions for the Clippers. They have a taxpayer mid-level exception of $5.89 million, which... hopefully that's enough to keep Hartenstein, right? Like, that's kind of what everyone's assuming we're going to use it for. Would be, I mean,
yeah.
I think that's safe, right? Like, do we think that's enough to keep Hart? Just under six?
I kind of think so.
I think so, too. We have two trade exceptions. $8.25 million from the Rondo trade. I think $9.7 million from the Surge trade. For those who are not aware, NBA trade exceptions essentially allow teams over the salary cap to make trades. They cannot be combined, which if you're going to send us trade machine ideas or anything like that, please do not start it with, we have to combine these trade exceptions. And also, these things expire a lot. You can just kind of get really good guys without kind of needing this. So there's a pretty good chance these expire, both of them. We can trade picks starting with the 2027 first round pick. Mostly because I'm not sure if you can trade.
Lock it up. Trade it out.
Mostly because I'm not sure if you can trade pick swaps. That seems like too much of a night, right? Like, how would that work? You'd have to have the other team agree to it, right? Because they
like swap
own...
a swap?
Right, because they like own your pick. So you can't be like, oh yeah, we're trading this pick swap. You're like, what the hell, man? Like, we technically own that pick. But we have swaps with the Thunder in 23, 25, and 24, 26. So... we can trade the one 2027 first round pick. Will, what do you make of any of this? The most valuable, I actually think, might be that mid-level exception. The least valuable is the trade exceptions, right? Those are just really never used. So between the mid-level exception and then that 2027 first round pick, what do you think is the most valuable asset right now for the Clips?
I mean, it'd have to be the first round pick. I just think that, you know, that's still
Hart's so important,
enough.
But yeah.
it's still far enough in the future that, I mean, if I'm a team gambling on that, who knows what these Clippers look like by 2027.
Very good point. Things shake up a bit around this franchise.
Things do tend to shake up a bit. Yeah, but that is also like, I don't know, man. That to me is as close to off the table, I think, as any of these would be, which is not to say completely off the table. Like, it would be, I'm sure it would be considered, but it would have to be for something like
a big swing.
It would have to be a big swing. And like, man, I don't know. That does seem like a pretty big gamble. Future wise.
Yes.
But
after a larger gamble, maybe future wise. So that kind of goes great into our next question. The Clip Check asks, outside of Kawhi and PG, who would you consider untouchable in trade scenarios? Will, you're putting that 2027 pick on that list. Of Kawhi
not
and PG.
Fully, but I mean, like, I'm sure they would chop it, but that has to be like as close to untouchable. Like, I gotta be honest. I don't know if I'm seeing like a realistic trade target with a team that's actually willing to do business with you, right?
Sure.
Like, that's right.
Not a trade machine trade. Yeah.
Yeah. In which you would feel comfortable giving up that far out.
I don't know. So Kawhi PG, obviously untouchable. I think Batum is untouchable. I think Covington, if he comes back, is untouchable. Terrence, mostly for vibes and the fact that he's been with Ty Lue a really long time and kind of does whatever he needs the team to do pretty well.
Wow, I would not put Terrence in that tier.
That's fair. I think that's kind of...
I in some ways, he's untouchable.
It might be the end of my list. Reggie, in some way, just for vibes.
In some way, I guess Terrence is untouchable just because of like the value that he provides, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that he would be included in a deal. Rocco, I mean, obviously if we sign it, we have to sign him. So at that point he's,
Yeah.
I don't know. Not completely untouchable, but I would say pretty darn close.
Yeah, we need those wings.
But yeah, other than that, I don't even know. Like, I would think that Reggie is untouchable just because of his relationship with Paul George, certainly what he did for the team. But, allegiances don't always mean something to this to this front office and to this franchise.
Kennard? Untouchable?
I'm not putting him in the untouchable tier.
Part of this
pains me. We talked with the great... Oh, sorry. I was going to say we talked with Dr. Schaap on the 2-3 podcast, and he brought up a great point that, like, Kennard is a lot more of a redundancy if you have a healthy Norm Powell. Because Norm Powell shoots, not as well,
sure.
Off the catch, but he's a 40% catch and shoot guy, and he can do a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think that would definitely lean me towards saying that that makes Luke a little bit more easy to move from like a Sting perspective on your roster.
Right.
What about Norm?
Oh, man. I think so.
He's untouchable before the All-Star break. I will say that. I would be very shocked if like he was somehow in a move before then.
Yeah, that's a good call. This is a tough. I'm gonna ruminate on this a little bit. This is a tough question. I think for the front office, it's only Kawhi and PG. I think that's the list, and everybody else from our front office perspective is ready to go. Danny H asks: was last year's team and is next year's team really as good? So this can be as good as we think. Or do you need to reassess based on how fraudulent Utah has turned out to be? Basically, was beating Utah last year really as impressive as we initially thought it was? First of all, I love these shots being fired at Utah in this way. What a tasteful way to say that the Jazz suck, because they do. This is an interesting question. This is a hard question. I don't think he's all the way wrong. I don't think it's based on Utah, though.
That's an interesting question. I think, yes, this team was as good as we thought it was last year. If you're including
their finals team last year, if we're healthy. Like, we're going to the finals last year if we're healthy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're including, like, is this team as good as we thought they were minus Kawhi? mean, I guess I would still say yes, especially given like the timeline that we had to turn around. It wasn't like we had a whole season to prepare without Kawhi.
Sure.
You know, like with a healthy Paul George, like you get one, you had to turn around the next game and win them both. Yeah. Or likely go home
every other damn
seven.
Day.
Yeah. So I don't think that look, we also provided the blueprint, right?
We provided the blueprint for Gobert. We provided the blueprint for Cat. Like
a lot of other teams are taking note off of like what the Clippers did there and what the shorthanded Clippers
speaking
did.
Speaking of the Jazz.
And,
take note. It's their stupid.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Man, that went right over my head.
That's a bad slogan.
So, I mean, like, is it as impressive? I mean, like, not if you think of Utah as a number one seed, I guess, which I do not.
No.
So, but, you know, it's still an impressive win, a shorthanded victory. And to be able to do it like the way we did it, you know.
We really did it to them.
Yeah, I still think is impressive. And it, you know, I don't know. Is next year's team, who knows? I think that next year's team will be even better than that last year's team because all of these other guys have had, you know, a little bit more time to sort of develop and figure out how they can be most effective on the floor. And I know in certain situations, like I always bring up Boston and that year without Kyrie that they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. You don't have a lot of young guys in this scenario who are like, hey, I mean, like, it's kind of our turn. Like, it was our time as we did last season. You know, it's a lot more vets and guys who understand what it takes to win and now are, like, sort of even more clarified in their roles, which will shrink from what they, you know, the gap that they had to fill this season.
Yeah. Clipper Irv asks, when and how did you guys become Clipper fans? I was asked this at a bar recently. Not sure if it was because of the drinks, but I almost got emotional answering. He says, hope to hear it on the show. I initially became a Clippers fan because watching the Knuckleheads was the craziest basketball I've ever seen in my life. It was not a kind of basketball you saw a lot in Montana, particularly. It was fun. It was emotion. It was everything basically that a lot of coaches and stuff where I was from told you not to play the game with, which is rooted in some other things for sure. But the Knuckleheads was what started it for me. And then, man, we moved out here around the same time and it was, you know, Heart of Lob series. Like, hell yeah, let's keep going. Like, we don't want to root for that shitty team.
Definitely. I mean, part of it for me was definitely like just the iconic voice of Ralph Lawler, which.
Oh, bingo. Come on now.
Didn't get to obviously catch a whole lot of his broadcasts growing up in like Montana, but when you would watch highlights or something and you would hear his call, it was always just something that I was like, man, that is an announcer and that is like a thing.
He like the epitomizes an announcer to me.
Yeah. I even remember like when I was in college and I watched like Drive for the first time and Ralph Lawler is on the call.
You're
like, that's Ralph Lawler.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like kind of like, you know, loosely a fan, especially of LA's other team. And I say that lovingly of LA's other team. I was definitely like loosely a fan and then moved here. Never got to live in the city.
I thought you meant like, the team across the hall. I was like, wait, what?
Oh, no. I mean,
stop the recording.
I just like grew up in an area where like for whatever reason, like, in the middle of nowhere, there was a lot of Lakers jerseys and stuff. And like, I could never really get on board with that. So like, I definitely like, wanted to be a fan of the other Los Angeles team.
My mom hates the Lakers.
Oh,
to this day, she hates the Lakers. So that's the thing for me. It's also funny to think about. So Will and I are from very different parts of Montana. Will is from a place where there's not a lot of people. So seeing in Eastern Montana, so seeing a Lakers jersey makes absolutely no sense. Shout out Clipper Irv.
Yeah.
Would love to get a drink talk about the Clips sometime.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, the Blake draft just kind of crystallized it for me, just getting to watch, obviously a delayed start to that. And then
my mom went to OU, and when Blake got drafted, everyone in the family was like, what? Going crazy.
Yeah. And then when I moved here, I mean, there was like, I mean, there's just clearly no other choice.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
It definitely started the seed was planted for me though with like Ralph Lawler and just like I don't know, just the way he called games, just there was something about it, something kind of, I don't know, it just spoke to me.
You want to listen to more games called by the GOAT. Coming up, we're going to be talking Ben Simmons and a whole other random stuff. But first, we got to give a shout out to Bet Online, the number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Hope you didn't put money on the Nets for anything. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, as well as the start of the Major League Baseball season. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering info, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, so we're talking shavings. Where do you want to kick things off?
Let's get the lighthearted stuff out of the way. Let's get the last lighthearted question out of the way. Someone asked, which former Clipper still in the playoffs are you rooting for the most and the least? So here's the list I constituted. We got CP3, Blake, Bev, Austin Rivers, Lou Williams, who is still technically on the Hawks, so I'm counting this, Gallo, Toby, Boban, Jamichael Green, Doc, Shamit, Serge, and Boogie. I'm sure I might have missed one. The Clippers have done a bunch of trades. Rooting for the most, it's not really Blake anymore because they're out, so that sucks. It might be Lou Will, but that doesn't count because he's not really playing. And the least, I don't know, Shamit, I guess.
Okay.
Not that I don't like him. Look, I'm just like, I don't care.
As far as the most, man, there's a lot of guys on this who will always have like a soft spot in my heart. Gallo, Toby.
Oh, dude. Tobio? Fans of the pod know all about Tobio.
Jamichael Green is like a player who, you know, tenure was not long enough with the Clippers for how much I still follow him. But I think my favorite, honestly, would be it's getting to see Bev, especially like now, you know, it stings a little, but essentially now he's playing for a team that isn't the Clippers, like getting some recognition on a little bit larger of a scale. I mean, I thought that was actually kind of cool that he was a player that was kind of like defining the conversation post their, you know, their win in the play-in. And player I'm rooting for the least, honestly, it's not a player. It's probably Doc. And I think that he robbed us of a year of Kawhi and Paul George after we made like a franchise shaking trade. And that is a little bit unforgivable for me. He's a great human being.
Absolutely.
And a good man. But yeah, man, if the Sixers, I would be so bummed for
it's going back like to Toronto.
They're about to lose
to the Raptors and take it back to game six.
I would be so bummed for like Embiid and some other players on that Sixers roster, but it would be a-okay with me if Doc Rivers.
I'd be like, you made your bed. You knew what's going to happen. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that.
Yeah. Blew yet again, at like another 3-1 lead.
Well,
sorry, Doc.
This would be a 3-0.
If you're listening.
Well, that's probably his biggest detriment as a coach. So he listens to our podcast. Dubois Love says, can you do some offseason scouting on T-Man's skincare routine? That man's skin is always crystal clear and glowing. We'll do our best. He's posted a little more about.
We'll check it out. You think he uses almond oil?
I don't know, man. He likes NFTs. So I don't know what that guy's doing. Chenny John says, what should the Clippers do to make up for their service issues with their fan shop? Personalized chibi dinos, R.L. Stein's Clippers themed Goosebumps book, month supply of Reggie PB&J bites, catering from Surges. How hungry are you? I'm going month supply of PB&J bites in one big jug, like those cheese puffs you get.
Same. Yeah. I think that is good. R.L. Stein, LA Clippers themed Goosebumps book.
Noted.
Which would be
author R.L. Stein.
Yes. Noted living author. He is alive. We checked. We checked in on him. There was a wellness check. He gave us a double thumbs up.
Yeah.
Followed by
from
a double
outside
bird.
His window, and then he called the boys.
And you could write a pretty scary Clippers Goosebumps book, I feel like.
Yes, you could. That's a good ass idea. Let's call R.L. Stein. okay, so now we gotta talk the Ben Simmons trade thing, which has it's been 11 days of the Clippers offseason, and combined with the downfall of the Nets, and people are like, what if we just traded for Ben Simmons?
The Nets were eliminated when we were recording this about maybe an hour ago.
Yes.
Less than that.
This idea has turned people against each other on Clippers Twitter. It's brother versus brother out there. One example floated by Julio Espinoza said, would you trade Morris Luke T-Man in the 43rd pick for Ben El Payaso? Simmons. Good bit. That does work financially.
No, thank you.
I can't imagine they would say yes. Scale of 1 to 10, how much would you want the Clippers to manufacture trade for Ben Simmons? And I'm going to be honest, at this point in time, I don't even know if it's possible. But right now, scale of 1 to 10, what would you say that your interest in this trade is? I think this wasn't a crazy idea at one point, which is something to take stock of. This wasn't like when he was playing basketball and things like that. And we're not here to talk about his injury or anything, but it is a very real thing. But now this just feels like too much. And I don't think the Nets say yes to anything. And it just, it feels like it's bringing an extra level of just extra stuff to a team that doesn't really need it potentially. Right?
Yeah, no, I just don't think it makes sense. I don't know how extensive the back injury is. I'm not inside of that situation. So, I can't really speak on the bill of health versus not wanting to play, or like the mental aspect of it. I will say though, in this scenario and not wanting to play in a game four where you're most likely going to get swept, I would actually be on Ben Simmons' side. Be
like, it makes sense to me.
Big dog. You don't want that smoke. Just go ahead and sit this one out.
That makes a lot more sense.
As for trading for him, look, I mean, the defense would be insane. I just think having a non-shooter out there, like, it doesn't really make sense for where Kawhi and Paul George like to operate.
Yeah. You run the starting five of Reggie, Norm, PG, Kawhi, Ben Simmons.
All right.
Okay. Crazier trade idea. Kyrie or Ben Simmons?
I mean, crazier good or crazier bad?
Which would you rather have, Kyrie or Ben Simmons?
Kyrie. What? Is this a conversation?
That would be, I don't know. We were kind of looking at his
contract. One plays basketball. One doesn't.
One do play basketball, famously. Yeah, I think I would rather have Kyrie. Is this possible? Probably not. I don't think
he's got a player option next year. He's turning that down. The Nets didn't extend him. You'll remember because he wasn't allowed to play home games.
True. Through his own fault.
He would have been eligible this year. But with that behind you, Kyrie.
What if he says F you and just signs him in with the Clippers just to really test the system? What if he's like, screw it, I want to see how low we can go for this. Like, pay me.
I mean, that would be. that would be, people are always trying to disrupt things. That would be a disrupt move.
Yeah. Kyrie, if you're listening to this, which he probably is, if you really want to disrupt the system and stick it to the man, come join the team with the wealthiest owner by a landslide on a league minimum. Really show those guys what's up. Let us know your thoughts, or don't actually, on Kyrie or Ben Simmons joining the Clippers. It's probably not going to happen. There's no reason to get super worked up about it. Over at Locked On Clips, welcoming invite over there. That about wrapped things up. Wednesday's episode, we're trying to get Justin Russo on this pod, but he's just so elusive. He might be on here, might be on the Thursdays, who knows. Bench grades begin with Terrence Mann, a What You Say Wednesday poll over on Locked On Clippers. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, let's hope it's nothing too crazy. Will, if someone wanted to give us season grades, as you invited people to do on our last episode, where could they possibly do that? I'm looking up to see if anyone's read it or given us any so far.
You can rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app on your mobile device. You can also do it over on Spotify. Spotify, newer to the review game. We'd love to get those numbers up.
Oh, yeah.
You can listen to us, though, on either one of those platforms. You can also listen to us on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, on Stitcher, on Deezer. Any place you listen to podcasts, you can probably get this show. Chuck, is there a review to close us out on?
There isn't. So go ahead and leave one. We will read it on air. Give us the season
grade. That's double F's for our season grade so far.
Yikes. Give us a season grade over on iTunes. Don't curse. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.